Welcome to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues, a weekly program discussing issues of concern to the family and those who hold traditional family values in Pennsylvania and our nation. Archives of these programs can be heard at www.afafpa.org. And now, your host, Diane Gramley, State Director of American Family Association of Pennsylvania.
June is designated as Gay Pride Month by LGBT activists, and it usually gets a lot of press, and they have a lot of various activities to show their pride. In the process of proclaiming pride to the world, these activists have hijacked God's rainbow and claimed it as their own. They have redefined the language surrounding their lifestyle. They have declared, unfortunately too successfully, that they are born that way. They have reinterpreted scripture to an American church that seems reluctant to address sin. Can we reclaim the rainbow? Can Christians offer an alternative to Gay Pride Month? My guest today is Scott Lively. He's a pastor, author, speaker, pro-family activist, and co-founder of Gone Too Far. Thanks, Scott, for being with us.
Yeah, great to be with you again, Diane.
So let's just start with some background, such as what is the Gone Too Far movement? Let's just start with that.
Well, Gone Too Far, which anyone can go to, gonetoofar.org, GONE2FAR, all is one. It's a coalition of pro-family organizations and ministries and individuals that just simply agree that the pro-family movement has to get reorganized and bring in the populists to stand against this extraordinarily destructive agenda. That no matter what you think about all the basics of so-called gay rights and all that that we've been fighting in the culture war for all these years, I think almost everybody that has any sense of decency agrees today that they've gone too far when they start parading prepubescent boys up on stage dressed as girls and throw dollar bills at them in like a gay bar setting, and everybody's applauding that, and they're changing the names of mom and dad and training kindergartners in gender identity issues, that it's just gone way too far. And so that's what Gone Too Far is about. And we're fairly new.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Right. And, you know, we see all this happening, and we see the loudest voices. I mean, the homosexual LGBT activists are loud, obnoxious. I mean, just look at Brian Sams when he assaulted, basically physically, or not physically, but verbally assaulted those pro-lifers in Philadelphia in front of that Planned Parenthood just a couple weeks ago. They're loud. And to me, I believe that frightens some of folks who side with us, are afraid to be confronted like Brian Sims confronted those pro-lifers. I know we as American Christians need to get more guts and need to be not afraid of being called names and such. Do you think there's hope is what I'm getting at? Do you think there's hope that Americans can get over, American Christians can get beyond fear of being called a nasty name and speak the truth?
Well, you know, we better, because
I totally agree.
Frankly, there's no, like Jeremiah said, you know, if you can't walk with the horses, how are you going to run with the chariots? Things are getting worse and worse.
Yeah.
And people who just don't have any courage to stand up for their faith are going to get swept up.
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
What's going to stop anybody from taking the mark of the beast if they have no experience in dealing with persecution?
Yeah. American Christians need to get used to it. I mean, we see it all around us. Not to the point of, you know, those Christians in China and other places, but still we definitely see the attack and the persecution of Christians. It's soft persecution at this point, but it's there. So let's talk a little bit about a little history, just a little history behind what is Gay Pride Month, a little bit of history behind that.
Yeah, well, that's, a lot of people don't know this, but Gay Pride, it's actually Gay Pride Day.
Oh, and it grew into a month, okay.
Yeah, right. And, well, it's grown into a day.
Well, that's true, yeah.
They never stop anymore, but it started out as it was the anniversary of the Stonewall riot in June 28, 1969, when homosexuals rioted against the police who came to arrest an underage boy drag queen. Speaking of full circle.
Yeah.
And they rioted, and that began several days of rioting. That was the beginning of gay pride. And it's when the movement sort of officially shifted from the seeking the right to be left alone, which is the original stated objective of the movement, and they began pursuing gay cultural supremacy, and they've never stopped since.
Yeah. Yeah.
Outright open warfare on Judeo-Christian civilization, and our side has been surrendering at every step. Large numbers of people.
Yeah, it's interesting how the homosexual activists have rewritten history. That's not unusual, but they just talked about the Stonewall riots when they stood up against police brutality and persecution. They never talk about the fact that the police were there to basically rescue an underage boy from the situation there.
Yeah.
They never talk about
that. Well, frankly, most of the leadership of the early LGBT movement were pederasts, open pederasts. In fact, the documentation for the comment that I made about the arrest of the drag queen boy comes from a book called Varieties of Man-Boy Love. This was standard fare because the early movement was run by male homosexuals who were oriented toward teenage boys. Mm-hmm. Many of the leaders, David Thorstad, who's also the founder of North American Man-Boy Love Association, and very, very rife through that. In fact, male gay culture has always been dominated by that, all the way back to the Greeks.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, what we've gone too far is we've launched, we've declared May to be Pride Fall Month. Pride Fall.
That's
cool. It's first annual. Pride Fall is we're exhorting, encouraging the church to preach against the sin of pride, right?
Right.
It's the number one sin. It's the number one of the seven deadly sins, all the way back to the Middle Ages. And it's the sin most closely associated with Satan in the Bible. And it's just shocking that the church has not really ever taken on the challenge of gay pride. This movement, this global LGBT movement, has popularized the idea that pride is a good thing, not a bad thing, especially pride in defiance of God.
Yeah.
So May is Pride Fall, and this is our first year, and we're starting kind of slow, but we have one billboard up in Springfield, Illinois, with the billboard, The Rainbow Belongs to God, and a couple scriptures on there. And then we have other activities going on. We're working hard to stop H.R. 5, the so-called Equality Act in Congress. That's an activity. But Pride Fall, that's what we picked May as Pride Fall Month, to basically equip all of the and prepare all of the believers to speak against Gay Pride Month, which is June, and to speak out during that month, both on the theme of saying, no, this is not something that you should be proud of, and pride itself comes before a fall, but also to challenge the Pride Fall, a major theme, is challenging the hijacking of the rainbow by the gay movement, because the rainbow is actually a representative, it's symbolic of the presence and authority of God. So it's actually blasphemy for them to cloak themselves in the rainbow banner.
Why do you think they chose the rainbow? I've always wondered
Well, it's always been a parasitic movement.
That's true.
And in the first symbol of the movement was the pink triangle, the inverted pink triangle, which they stole, hijacked from the Jews, because the Holocaust and the Nazi persecution of Jews in Germany and Europe, everyone that was sent to the Nazi work camps and the death camps, they were all identified by these inverted triangles of different colors.
Oh, okay.
And so the gays, homosexuals who are arrested, usually legitimately on violating sodomy laws, they were identified with the inverted pink triangles. That was a symbol of the movement as an attempt to steal the moral authority that the Jews had regarding the Holocaust for themselves, and they began creating a false gay Holocaust and putting it side by side. And, of course, myself and Kevin Abrams Orthodox Jewish Holocaust researcher, when we published the pink swastika, homosexuality in the Nazi Party, it was specifically to rebut that argument and to show the counter evidence. And frankly, when we teamed up with the Orthodox Jews, copies of our book were shipped all over the whole country. The gays stopped using the pink triangle, except in a few limited venues.
So it's all
so
your
they
fault.
Switched.
Okay.
Well, and you can blame part of it on me. But they switched. What they did at that point is they then hijacked Jesse Jackson's Rainbow Coalition idea, right? So they were stealing from the Jews, and then they were stealing from the blacks.
Mm.
So that's Jackson, the Rainbow Push Coalition. Mm-hmm. It was mostly 80s, but the homosexuals stole it in the early, mid-90s, when we came out with the pink swastika. They'd used it to some degree, but they only completely shifted over to that being their primary symbol in the mid to late 90s.
Wow, that's interesting history. So you have one billboard up. So part of the Prideful Month is to get billboards up. So you have one up in Springfield. And what did you say? Reclaiming the rainbow? Is that what the...
In fact, go to gonetoofar.org.
Okay.
And you can see that on there. People could send me an email at scottlivelyministries@gmail.com, and I can send you a copy of our newsletter where we talk about Pride Fall, and it's got a picture of the billboard. In fact, they put it up there. There's two billboards stacked. The upper one is The Rainbow Belongs to God, Our Gone Too Far billboard, and the one below it is a billboard about HIV testing. So it's a great combination.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. I think God may have had a hand in that, for sure.
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But anybody who wants to do this, billboards aren't that expensive for the impact that they have. Like the one in Springfield, I think, is like only around $400.
Oh, really? Wow.
And it stays up for a whole month, and especially if you got one with good visibility. And you can go to gonetoofar.org, connect with us there. You can go right to the company that produced that one for us. They have 4,600 billboard faces across the country, and you could just pay for one to be put up in your town or wherever.
Yeah.
Or contribute toward, we're trying to raise money to put others up in other places, especially in June.
Yeah, I'll have to check into that. That's not bad.
ScottLively.net. You could also donate through my site, and I can funnel it to that purpose, too, ScottLively.net.
Okay. So, I mean, your whole point is to, because like you're saying, no one's talking about, Gay Pride Month has expanded from one day to an entire month and really, like you said, an entire decade as far as their effort to remake history, to remake society. We have to do something. And I think just putting the billboards up with Reclaiming the Rainbow and such as that, just to have the Gone Too Far movement trying to revitalize the pro-family movement, which desperately has to be done. I think it's just a great idea because we've sat back too long and...
Well, I can tell you what happened, Diane.
Okay.
That the pro-family movement really emerged in the Reagan Revolution, right? Mm-hmm. It was part of the Reagan Revolution. And the whole idea, the exciting idea of being able to restore America to constitutional originalism and family values, all that was part of Reagan's control of the country. There was a mini revival that happened then. That's when I got involved. That's when most people that I know that are long-term activists, we all got started then in the 80s. And as a matter of fact, when I was a communications director for Oregon Citizens Alliance in the late 80s, we were the ones who had the no special rights theme to try to stop anti-discrimination policies based on sexual orientation from going through, which is actually exactly what the Equality Act is trying to do at the federal level.
Top level, absolutely.
Right. And of course, these are dangerous because the anti-discrimination policy is the seed that contains the entire tree of the LGBT agenda with all of its poisonous fruit. Once it goes in the ground, all the rest of it comes just one thing after the other. There's nothing to stop it because the anti-discrimination policy makes it illegal and immoral, from a legal standpoint, to oppose the agenda.
Right.
Just look at
California. I mean, the whole left coast, the west coast, the left coast, California and Oregon and Washington, look at what has happened in those states.
And exactly. So this is the worst thing that we've ever faced, is this so-called Equality Act. But what we did is a version, We ran that in Oregon. We didn't win, but a version of the No Special Rights Act by our friends in Colorado passed as Amendment 2.
Okay.
But that would then went all the way up to the Supreme Court, and that was the first of the four majority opinions written by Justice Anthony Kennedy establishing gay cultural supremacy in America. The first one was Romer v. Evans, and it was all about Amendment 2, the No Special Rights Act. And, of course, when he wrote that, it was a terrible, one of the worst decisions in the history of the court, and they gutted, they actually just invalidated the amendment on the grounds that it was motivated by hatred. Bogus argument.
And that it is always a bogus argument, but they continue using that argument on all levels of government.
Yeah, but this was a Supreme Court justice representing a majority. He always sided with the four liberals on that issue, on family issues.
Yeah.
And then that's what happened, is every step of the way, it's the Supreme Court that stopped it. It's not that we didn't have a very strong pro-family movement. We were powerful. We got 35 states to adopt the Defense of Marriage Act, right?
Yep.
And
yep.
Every single step of the way, whenever it looked like we were going to actually get victory over them, a Supreme Court decision would come down, written by Kennedy, that took away everything and even poisoned the ground even worse than we had before.
Yeah.
And the last one was the Obergefell decision, so-called gay marriage, and that was the death knell. Since then, the pro-family movement has sort of disintegrated because it's sort of like this, you know, they've beaten us at every turn.
Yeah.
How can you overcome something like that? How can you overcome that kind of power?
Mm-hmm.
Like to borrow from the Lord of the Rings, you know, what can people do against such relentless hate?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we're faced with. But we have to stand.
We have to
stand for the truth no matter what. And that's what Gone Too Far is about.
Yeah. You couldn't have picked a better name for the movement, because that's exactly where we are. I mean, we as a nation must face the fact that they have gone too far. We must face the fact that we have to stand up and be counted.
Yep.
Because, I mean, look what they're doing to the kids. The indoctrination.
Oh, terrible. Just really terrible.
You know, what California and Colorado just passed as far as sex ed for kids. And in Pennsylvania, there's a comprehensive sex ed bill that's been introduced. And many states have introduced comprehensive sex ed.
Well, you know, Diane, this is the pedophile track.
Yeah.
I never realized this in all the years that I was fighting the gay agenda, that to me, the transgender thing was always sort of secondary. I didn't pay all that much attention to it. I was fighting gay rights.
Right.
Which is the transgender is sort of included in that. But since we lost that, since Obergefell, the entire LGBT machine has shifted to transgenderism.
Yeah.
And now we see that it's through transgenderism that they're going to bring in pedophilia, because it's all about children's self-determination.
Mm.
And that's what this is about, getting a hold of these kids in kindergarten and preschool and promote this idea on gender fluidity.
Yeah.
Right? To five-year-olds. Right. This is criminal. These people should be horsewhipped.
And just teaching the kids about consent, you know, whether they can consent or not to have a sexual relationship with someone. I'm sorry.
But the idea that the children themselves can engage in self-determination about their gender identity, that is the precursor to pedophilia. Because if children's rights are established, then their right to engage in any whatever sexual partners that they want, including in age of majority, that's an easy step at that point. And it's one of the very last things from the 1973 Gay Rights Platform, removal of all laws governing age of sexual consent. That's what's really going on with this. This transgenderism push is about the complete destruction of the family-based society, the takeover, the brainwashing of little children into this mentality where of sexual anarchy, really. Everything driven by their own subjective feelings that, of course, can be manipulated so easily by adults, by the adults that are doing this.
Yeah.
Really, it's just criminal. It's just criminal.
It is. But who in the political realm has enough guts to say anything? Where's the church in all this? It's very frustrating for me, and I know it is for you, too. And that's one of the reasons I know that you're involved in the Gone Too Far movement and getting it established and such, in this whole gay Pride Fall.
And that's just start using that, appropriate for yourself. Anybody listening out there, if you share the level of frustration that we're talking about here, Gone Too Far is a way to actually do something, right? We don't have anywhere near, I mean, the Human Rights Campaign, the biggest homosexual organization in the world, this is what they're doing. They're buying Republican votes in the Senate right now. That's what we're faced with.
Yeah.
It's almost certainly going to pass the House.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to go, and this is going to put sexual orientation in the 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Yeah.
You thought things were bad so far, and they have been bad. But this is going to like a kill shot against Christianity. It's it expressly invalidates the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, which is what the only thing that's been any barrier at all to their agenda, and believe me, there hasn't been much that we've been able to count on that to stop any of it, but it expressly eliminates that.
And what
they do with these things, they have always done, is they always push for these anti-discrimination policies on the theme of defending themselves against unfair persecution.
Right,
a shield against discrimination. But as soon as they go in, they immediately jump right out behind the shield and start swinging it as a sword. They use it as a affirmative weapon against anybody that disagrees with them. That's what the Masterpiece Cake Shop case was about that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. Fortunately, the court drew a line there and said, no, you can't force Christians to use pro-homosexual speech when and the writing on the cake. You can't do but. You know, what's that, right? You know, we got a defense of conscience, right? You still have the ability not to have to write something on the cake, but meanwhile, they control all the other spheres of our society and are pushing their agenda on all of our children.
It's just very scary stuff. So the website is gone, then the number 2far.org.
Yes,
and there's a picture of the website up there. And, you know, I just hope the listeners go there and take a look at what
and ScottLively.net, too.
Okay,
yeah, ScottLively.net is my website. You can contact me. Get on my newsletter list. I still cover these things every month. I put my newsletter out twice a month now, and I monitor a lot of things that are going on. And
yeah, there's a lot going on. There's no doubt about that. It's just hard to keep up with everything. So, gone, the number 2far.org, and ScottLively.net. Those are the two websites folks should go to.
Okay, yes. Thanks, Diane.
Okay, hey, take care. Appreciate it.
God bless.
Okay,
all right, bye now.
God bless. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to American Family Focus on Pennsylvania Issues. If you would like to get involved in the efforts to defend traditional values in Pennsylvania, please contact the AFAFPA by writing to Post Office Box 1048, Franklin, Pennsylvania, 16323, or by visiting their website at www.afafpa.org.